So now, so the basic order is you have to have in your mitzvah, things which are taller than you. And what happens, you guys don't have this, but what happens if your child gets up in the morning, which happens to me? Your child gets up, you have to take it to school. I'll take it up, your child gets up, you take it to school. Do you have control over that? No. One day he'll get up grumpy, one day he didn't sleep nice, whatever, he doesn't want to go to school, you have to get up to school on time. If there's order in school, you have to get up to school on time. So now, you have a choice. Or you go daven on time, or you take your kid to school, and then you daven, right?
You're going to make a minion both times?
Huh? You have to what?
You're going to make a minion both times?
You have to make a minion of minions. You go get to Kodal later, you get to Shia later. That's what happened to me this morning, right? My son didn't go to, I wasn't home last night, I was out, my wife was out, so my son went to sleep late, right? I can't control that. I tried phoning him and, you know, promising this, promising that. Doesn't work, but it's a play. Especially after you have Purim, when you stay up late. Purim, you stay up late the day after. So the third day, you know, until Shabbos comes along, it's hard to get the order in again. So, and then he gets up late in the morning, he's grumpy. So it's hard to get it. So, you have to have enough room to allow disorder. What happens if I want to make order? I don't want to make order. So as soon as you want to make order, that means you've lost a bit of control and you want to gain control. What will happen if you want to gain control on something you don't have full control over? You get frustrated, stressed, and angry. That's not a good decision. Do you understand? Order is a good thing so long as you can allow for disorder. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can order your life in as much as you can live with it being disordered. It means you can make a minion, you can do things, but there's going to be things in your life, people in your life, they're going to be change your order. Another example. You want to go to a chasna. You have Rusa, it's getting married. And your wife knows the color. And you both decided, because this is your best friend, this is her good friend, so you both want to get to the chuppah on time. So you come home early from Kodal, or from yeshiva, or from work, wherever it is. Early enough to help your wife, whether you have kids, whether you don't have kids, it makes no difference, right? And you're going to go now to the chuppah on time. And lo and behold, you're ready, trimmed up, shower, tie, shirt, right? Don't put any other stuff on your face that women do, right? Maybe men do that now, I don't know. No idea. But you put your deodorant on, you're ready, you're tip-top. All of a sudden, your wife's having a shower. Now she's finishing the shower, she's doing her pear. Then she's putting on her stuff, right? And then what's it called? Then she forgot. Now she's looking for her shoes. Those shoes that she only wears for chasnas, she forgot where she put them, because she only having chasnas she goes to, right? So now she's looking for her shoes. So now you're both looking for the shoes. Where did she put them? Was it in this drawer? Was it in that drawer, right?
I just say I'll meet you there.
Right? And now you planned your whole day. You know, when you're on business, you have business meetings. They come on time, they don't come on time, they don't get the job, right? Here your wife, you're coming home, she has a different life, a concept of order. What are you going to do about your order?
Go there without her.
Huh?
Leave
without her. Hey guys, leave without her. Alex.
Look if you show them nice.
What's it good? Leave without her?
For sure.
For sure. Okay.
Give her money. Whatever, like, give her money.
So a taxi.
She'll say. She'll be like, yeah, go ahead, darling.
Yeah. I see some of us are married. I'm happy to really get you for Tavadi. Women are not so orderly.
They're in the physical world, they're the ones, though.
Yeah, but they're not so orderly when it comes to these things, when it comes to times. Shazman Groba. The potter from Mitzvah Shazman Groba, not for any other reason.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a potter from Mitzvah Shazman Groba.
What is it?
Mitzvahs that have a fixed time, women are potter.
I thought that's because they have it naturally.
Yeah, okay. It's not because they don't have time, but I'm just telling you. Chazal did potter them because they don't know how to keep time. Women are very orderly more than men. That's not the reason. But I'm just telling you, if Chazal tell us they don't have Mitzvah Shazman Groba, they're potted from it. There must be also, a good reason for it as well. No, that's not the reason. It's like it comes out from it. They're not so orderly, women, generally speaking. I'm not saying every woman. So, even though we're going to make order, you have to allow for disorder. You understand what I'm saying? That's a little bit of entropy in your life. Now, how do you cope with the disorder? If you're so fixated on the order, you can't tolerate disorder. Order has to be order with the ability to accept disorder and change. Understand what I'm saying? It means we have to order our lives as far as we're concerned. We have to allow within our lives a level of disorder and uncertainty. Be able to cope with that. Understand what I'm saying about order? Now, if you're a bachur, there's no reason why you can't order your lives. Right? You can have clean shirts, you can have clean rooms, it can be orderly, you can get up for shachar sometimes, there's nothing stopping you. And when you have jobs, right, you're going to have to be on time. There's no way your boss is going to allow you to be late, right? It's not kolal here, right? You're going to be orderly, you're going to have to leave the time. It doesn't matter if the kids are screaming, not screaming, whatever's happening in the house, you're going to have to be on time. So how are you going to do that? Wife's going to have to do it. Well, wife's going to have, you're going to have to car to take the kids out or whatever. Or you're going to have to work it out. I don't know how you're going to work it out. You understand what I'm saying?
How you deal with disorder, though? I don't know.
Huh?
How you deal with disorder?
Disorder?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. You have to have the ability to deal with disorder in order to be orderly. That's, you have to understand that's like, what do you mean, what's that based on? That you're not in control. You're not in control. The only thing you control, that's what I'm trying to explain to you, being the only thing that you're in control of is you doing mitzvahs. That's it. You being a tzaddik is the only thing you're in control of. Intrinsically. Everything else, you have to try to be in control of, but you have to try, you have to allow for disorder. So that also comes to planning life. You need to plan your life. You have to allow for disorder. That means when I plan my life, I'm not in control of where I'm going to go. I can only try. I can only make my ishtadlus. But I have to allow disorder. This disorder is basically your emunah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is directing your life. You have to direct. He wants you to direct your life, but you have to allow him in as well. You understand what I'm saying?
That disorder is essentially God, no?
Yeah, that disorder is essentially God.
And to be able to do that, you need to recognize that principle that the only thing we can have order on is
our tzitzkus.
And we have to let the rest to you.
The rest is intrinsically not in your full control. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try and make order of it. That doesn't mean you give up on it. It means you do hishtadlus. That means when you're going to go for shidduchim and you want Mrs. X, you spoke to Rav Orovik, Rabbi Lin, you did the choveret, you know what you're looking for. She has to have this figure, these eyes, that sort of hair, plus these midas, right, the sort of family she wants. All those things, you worked it out. This is what you want.
All right, I'm curious the answer.
Right. Now you meet girls.
No.
Right? And it's 80%. It's 70%. You marry them. Well, you know, it wasn't exactly the figure I was looking for. Wasn't like the hair I was looking for. But the midas, at least I see, seems to have the midas I'm looking for. She's not maybe as intelligent as I wanted, or not maybe as this, right? How do you know? You're going to go for 100%?
That's what we go for then. You go to match the 5 levels of your soul.
Max is something different.
To match the 5 levels of your soul.
Okay, Max. Okay, alright. Well, I'm not telling you what specific things you're looking for, but I'm just talking about, practically speaking, are you going to look for that, or are you going to have to make a pshara? You're going to have to make that some sort of, well, certain percentage that I'm going to have to be accepting about that I'm not going to get. That's life. That's life. You have no control over that. You can't, you know, like, go on a computer, you know? You know, pick your DNA, right? This is the DNA, like when you're born, right? So your mother goes and sees your DNA, right? Sees, you know, like after you're 3 years old or whatever. This is the type of girl you want looking for, right? That's the fixed DNA. You know, I'm sure, you know, in the future they're going to have some sort of, right? You know, this is the boy I want. Okay, this is the DNA I want. And this is the girl that we wanted to marry. So, you know, you have two friends coming together. Look, I'll have this boy, you have this girl. Make a shidduch in 20 years' time. Not gonna happen like that. Not gonna happen like that. There's no way you have control over that. Mm-hmm. Right? And even if you think you got everything you got, I told you beforehand, you marry Rachel and you get Leah, you're always gonna have a part in what you thought you got and what she actually is.
I feel sorry for Leah and Shemaine. Just listening to our conversation.
Your wife, who's called Rachel, is also Leah. And Leah is also Snur because you didn't really want to marry her. You thought you were marrying Rachel. What? I didn't realize she was like that. I never heard that was about her. She was like that when she, you know, when she gets angry. Who has those things? Till you're married. And I'm not worrying you guys. That's normal. When you realize it's normal, it's less worrying because you can cope with it. So long as you have, you're accepting that there's certain parts of your life you have no control over, and you have to live with those as a tzaddik, because that's what you have control over, you'll be able to live a happy life. If you're picking off stuff from you, if you think you have full control over everything that's around you, you just...
What's that got to do with picking off stuff?
You know, if you're so particular about any little fluff that you have on you, right? You know, you're somebody, you know, it's fluff around, but you know, no one's expecting you to pick off the fluff of your shirts, right? You're not expected to be, you know.
I think they are. I mean, like, if you see someone, whatever.
I'm just using
it as a marshal, really. As a marshal, I'm saying, you know, that you don't. You don't have to be so. You can't be so controlling on everything. You can't be. You have to realize. You have to allow for gaps. You have to allow for letting other people in sometimes, letting things run the way they run. Because I want to tell you something, people get big makas, big hits, and they think they're in full control. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to tell them you're not in control. They spend their whole life trying to control things. You're not going to be able to control everything. You're just going to drive yourself insane. You're going to drive yourself, you're going to become nervous, you're going to be mud'ag, you're going to do this, do that, do that. It's all going to fall out of you. It's going to fall out of your control. Eventually, that's what's going to happen. You're going to lose control. People don't realize that. I have full control on it. They want to have full control.
Is that our society that does that?
Because it's insecurity. Full control is based on insecurity. Insecure about the tzidkus in you, you're going to want to control it outside of you. Because the thing you have really, your righteousness, the thing you have really full control over is yourself. You really don't have full control over everything else. More control over your wife, over your children. When I say control, I don't like that word control. You have more
influence.
Influence means you can affect them more. Your behavior. And you should know, the bigger tzaddik you are, the more influence you can have on other people. Gemara. The opposite of what people think. The Gemara says that a person who is a Yirei HaShamayim, who listens to him, who takes his advice, a person who's lacking in Yirei HaShamayim, people will not. What's Yirei HaShamayim based on? Control of self. Not doing avaras. Doing mitzvahs. It's full self-control. When you have full self-control, then you won't need to issue control of other people. Be mameila. People by themselves will listen to you, want to listen to you. That's the reality of order. That's the reality of control. Understand what I'm saying? So you will find, and this is why I'm coming back, that's why I'm not so in agreement with this concept. I think you have to be orderly, but I think you have to, and within your order, you have to have, in places where you can't have control, you have to have the ability to allow for gaps. I'll tell you my Rosh Yeshiva. There's two people that I knew when I was in Yeshiva. One was Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one was his son Rosh Shmuel Auerbach. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, every day, on the dot, at 7 o'clock, was there for Shacharis. We knew it was 7 o'clock because he walked in. If there's a Shaila, was it 7 o'clock on the clock? 7 o'clock was Rosh Shlomo Zalman, so the clock needed to be changed. Every day, I'm telling you, every day. And my Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Shmuel Auerbach, his son. Now he obviously was brought up in a very orderly house. I mean, Rosh Shlomo Zalman was a very orderly man, right? Every day Rosh Shmuel Auerbach was late. His son, he never sometimes even done with the Yeshiva. He used to go and down with Zichron Yaakov. Zichron Moshe, you know, Shtiblech at 8 o'clock or 8:30 minions. We used to see him getting in a taxi in the Rosh Yeshiva, going to a different place. Never used to down with the Yeshiva when I was a Bocha. We didn't know what he used to do at night, right? But you understand. And he didn't have children. So once I told my Rosh Hashanah this, I said, there's a difference, you know? I said, there's two concepts of Tamid in the Torah. An Olas Tamid. Tamid, there's two concepts of Tamid. There's an Olas Tamid, right? What's an Olas Tamid? It means you Korban Ola. You've heard of the Korban Ola? The Korban that you bring every morning. The, how do you call it? The continual offering.
The Menachos.
Yeah, the continual offering. It's brought twice a day. has a specific time, but it's only brought twice a day. There's order in time. That you have a certain time for learning, every day you learn at that time. That's considered continuous. That's considered a masmid. And there's a different form of masmid. So all the time he's learning, and when he's eating, it's a hefsek from his learning. That's my Rosh Hashiva. He's just learning the whole time. He's just osik b'tzolchet sibur learning the whole time. There's not a moment that he's not doing some mitzvah, right? Anything that's tzorech aguf, it's a hefsek. You understand what I'm saying? That's a different level of order. Understand? So it means when you go, like most go to rabbis, right? They have times, they have Kabbalah's Kahal. This is the time he meets people. So he has roughly times. After Mincha, you can meet him. After Mincha, to where? No one knows. After Mincha, you're going to get in? No. I used to go to Rav Shlomo Fisher. No, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Right? And he had times. These are the times you go in. Everyone who gets in by that time, the door gets closed, whoever's in, he sees them everyone. But he doesn't see one more person. By Rosh Hashiva, he'll stand in a line, right? Some days no one will take, some days he'll take everyone, some days he'll take one person. You never know. Busy man. Sometimes he has a guy, he has something on his head that he has to deal with, so he's not going to see anyone. He's not orderly. Is that good? Is that not good? Maybe it's not good, I don't know. But there's two ways of dealing with life. You understand what I'm saying? So long as you have order in your sitkas and you have some sort of hishtadlis in your outside lives and you allow for disorder, that's enough order that you need in your life. That's what I'm saying. So long as your shlita is on yourself, your order is on yourself, that's okay. That's the minimum of order, but you have to have that minimum. I'm talking about choosing a life. This is probably, this is nothing from Torah, this I heard from one of my students, and it's a very good idea. You should make yourself a plan. Now, when we talk about Ruchnius, you can make yourself a death plan, Chas v'Shalom, it's a life plan, right? You can think about what you want people to say when you're 120. That's the first thing. Then you make a 10-year plan, where you want to be in 10 years' time. 5-year plan, 2-year plan, 1-year plan. And you give yourself plans for all those things. Now, when all these plans come about, but this is an individual thing, you have to allow the possibilities. Give yourself 2 or 3 possibilities, i.e., you want to be a doctor, right? You want to be a doctor, successful doctor. You want to cure, I don't know how boys, you want to cure the machala, this disease, this famous disease. What happens if you don't? You wasted your life. There has to be a backing. That if you don't get what you want, it's okay
always,
to have
you always were good at X.
Yeah, you always you have something else that you can do.
You're saying that thing.
You help people out at least. You were a good husband. That's me like all of it. My wife loves me. There has to be a backing. I'm a tzaddik. I hold that the better thing is I'm a tzaddik. My wife loves me, right? It depends on your wife sometimes, it depends on how you also behave, right? It's not complete control. That's something you're in full control over. Because sometimes in your life, right, your wife doesn't love you. Sometimes your wife, your kids don't love you. What are you going to do then? You have to say, God loves me. That's a harder thing to say. Because at those times you don't feel God loves you either. And you have to have that reality about yourself that you're trying your best to be a tzaddik. Trying your best. If you leave your life, you're trying the best to be a tzaddik, and you're not doing averus and you're doing mitzvahs, that's the minimum of your reality. You understand? That's it. Okay? Understand? We're going to go more into this concept of order if you want to. I'll explain what he means by order. But you have to understand that order does not mean shlita on others. Order has to have shlita on yourself. You understand what I'm saying? There's a very big difference, and people make this mistake, and it's a big mistake in life. Not Judaism. Das means das atzmo. Means control of self. It means your moach permeates you in which your behavior is proper. If your das is that controlling others, it's not das. Probably a lack of das.
You say making a plan, right? So the whole concept of it, uncertainty, is making things which could badly, could go wrong badly, like it's just an option.
You have to be, I'm sure you have options which you prefer and options which you less prefer, problems which you don't even really want. but they could be an option.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be boys, chas v'shalom. Look, there's people here, people you know, even, that got married, nice girl, everything, and something happened and finished.
I mean, for example, I think it's perfectly possible there'll be a nuclear war, you know.
Huh?
I think it's perfectly possible there'll be a nuclear war in the next 10 years.
Okay, whatever.
You know, but that's not something that...
I mean, you don't, those things which are global, first of all, I don't know if we know these things. And second of all, you don't plan for those things. There's Yasser Rabbein. There you go. Say, should I plan for a nuclear war? Should I build myself a bunker that I can survive after?
You live crazy if you're always.
Yeah. Okay. Say you have that worry. Say it's a worry by you.
It's a worry.
Okay. But you, for those things, for global things, you ask Rabbein.
That's a different job plan, I'd say, if that was a deal.
Okay, but I don't think you should base your reality on that. Like, for instance, it's going to be a nuclear war in 10 years' time. Well, maybe you should be building a bunker. Maybe you should teach your children how to survive without food. Right? That's a different, you know. So first of all, you have to, when you have a reality that you have to ask yourself an honest question: is this a real reality? How do you know if it's a real reality? Don't base it on your concept of life. Base it on what bigger Rebbeim than you tell you. Not everything's totally in how things are going. You know, Klal Yisrael shouldn't really be a reality. It'd be a reality. People read, even they gave us Eretz Yisrael, these few people to come to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't think we would survive with the Arabs. Even the Chazon Ish said, who told me this? Chazon Ish said, Halavai, they'll make the government, about the government. I mean, such a great government. Halavai, they'll make a Doha, I say Doha, a post box system. That's how good they were. That's what Chazon Ish said about them.
A what system?
A postal system. We have a whole country here. We're surrounded by millions, I don't know how many millions, billions of Arabs who hate us. We can think of, in terms of reality. Sarah was an Akara, Avram was an Akar. That means Alpitev, they couldn't have children. Right?
Yeah.
Alpitev, we're not here.
You're saying nothing according to Tev.
When it comes to global reality of the Jewish people, don't worry about Tev. We're beyond Tev. Doesn't mean in your personal life.
I've never heard that concept.
In terms of your personal life, because we have a haftacha that we're not.
But the whole point of your planning your life is global.
Yeah, but no, global. No global.
What's going to be the best market that I'm going to make the most money?
Yeah, that's your personal life. I'm not talking about global.
But we're looking global issues. Finance is one.
I'm not talking about which investments you should be making. I'm not talking about that sort of order. I'm talking about you want to go into finance when you finish here. You want to get married. You want to have children. You want to work on certain things. You want to have a certain level of Yiddishkeit, right? What's the ideal for you?
For example, I thought finance was a joke, right? I didn't think people were doing anything. You know, 5 years ago, everyone else thought it was. So according to Teva, whatever, it would have been a good idea, right? But, you know, as in, if I had been sensible, right, I wouldn't have gone to finance, which I didn't. But, like, you know, as in, these things do affect, like...
Yeah, but you have to say, I'm not talking about your personal things, I'm talking about general. If it's personal, it has to be a separate, a personal conversation, understand? So generally how we look at these things. We can do it personally, if you want, we'll sit out, we'll put a thing for each person, we'll put on the board, where you want to be in 5 years' time, where you want to be in 10 years' time. We'll give an example, right? Some boy did it to me when I was here 5 years ago, in Machon Shlomo. He put this is where you want to be, this is where you want to be, this is where you want to be. He made me think. It opens your eyes. But I want to tell you something. After it was all said and done, I don't think this is what I wanted to be. I don't think I ever even thought I wanted to teach in Machon Shlomo or Machon Yaakov. I never even thought I was going to teach like in a situation like this. It's one of my surprises for you. I don't know where I'm going to go in the next 5-10 years. All I know is I want to become a Talmud Chacham. All I know is sufficient to my core belief that I become learned in learning Torah, that I teach people, that I influence people's lives, and that I have a good family and wife and kids. That's what I'm working on. And obviously, Chas v'Shalom, I want to be a good human being. I want to be a tzaddik. That's my full control. That, without doubt, is the first thing I'm going to be judged on. I don't have big expectations for myself. When I say, do I want to change the whole of America? Do I want to influence people's lives? Yes. I hold local. I hold that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends me a person and I can help him, that means he's sending it to me to help. That means I have a chrayas to help that person. Right? Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want me to go to X places and do whatever there. If someone takes me there, someone says it's a good idea, and I ask, the person says, I ask my rabbi, and the rabbi will say yes, so I'll go. If my rabbi will say no, I ask Rabbi Trivitz. Duma, I asked Rabbi Trivitz a question. I said, should I teach in the Vay? I asked him, should I teach in the Vay? You know, like what I do, not what I do with the boys, because I couldn't do it with the girls, but what I do, Rafi, like the shiurim. So he told me no.
Who's it?
Rabbi Trivitz told me no. And he was right. Because the type of shiurim I do, I get involved. I get to know the people. And I know people. And I don't want to do that with girls. I'm married. So I can't do that. He said no. And he was right. You have ideas.
Well, who gets involved with the girls then? Someone's got to get the girls.
So it's a girl. So Mrs. Leviton or the equivalent of Mrs. Leviton. I don't know who they have in the room. I'm sure they have.
Or Heller.
Yeah, whatever it happens. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right.
Just a question. In terms of women, they're supposed to do what? For them to be able to gain control.
They also said naked.
So naked, but you said that involves being a tzaddik at the end of the day. What does it mean to be a tzaddik and the connection with control? Is that you have to be in control of...
Control of self.
Oh, okay.
A woman also has the same thing. She also has a call to be a tzaddik. She might have different plans. She wants nice children, she wants a nice husband, she wants to help her husband do whatever he wants. She might have an idea of what her husband wants to be. She might want to be a Talmud Chacham, I want to be a Kiruv Rabbi, I want to be a businessman who learns, right? Don't marry a woman who wants to be a big businessman.
A woman that wants to be?
For herself, yeah.
That she wants to be a big businessman.
That she wants you to be a big businessman. Yeah. That's a power need. Uh-huh. You don't want to marry such a woman.
Why does she need, what's it?
It's a power need. She has a power need.
Over you?
No, if you're important and what's considered powerful in the world. So it's very empowering to her. Don't marry such a woman. You can marry a woman to empower you over self. Over spiritual endeavors, right? But even a woman who wants to become a big rabbi, a famous rabbi, you do anything which is
public,
yeah. You don't want. These are power needs. Tzidkus is not a public thing. Tzidkus is a personal thing. Is that personal thing? How big a tzaddik or how small a tzaddik, we don't know. How we know in Shemayim. Shlomo Zalman, I'll explain this also, this final thing. Shlomo Zalman said, who's the Lama Tvav Tzadikim? This Lama Tvav Tzadikim is starring. We know who the Gedolim are. You find, go to the back of the newspaper, you see all their pictures, right? Yeah, but what do you mean the Lama Tvav Tzadikim? He says there's the Lama Tvav Tzadikim. Why the Lama Tvav Tzadikim? Asayim is starring. What they do in their private lives are hidden. They don't know the Tzitzkos they do. They don't know the Maisim they do. I'll tell you a story about Shlomo Zalman. We used to go to her mana every week and learn by her, so she would be comforted. An almana, my Rosh Hashiva, I know. He also went to this woman, widower, whose husband was paralyzed from some sort of disease. He said, go and learn in her house. So there wasn't problems of Yichud or anything like that. Let's go and learn in his house. The husband was there. So that she would feel good. So she would, the simple things in life. Simple things. We don't know what these people do. We don't know what their private lives are. We don't know how they help people. Sometimes a word here, a thing here, an action here. Tzidkus is a private thing. Tzidkus is not something you go around saying. You understand? How many mesechtas you learn, or how many gdolim you, right? Those aren't things you praise about. You understand what I'm saying? What a big masmid do you are. Those aren't things you speak about. Those are things of private. Because you don't go and tell other people. It's telling these people stuff so in order that they'll learn, that's different. And then there's a limit to how much you should be speaking about who you are. You understand what I'm saying?
Also, the people I find sometimes they want to try and control your behavior, the way you act, or they're very into telling everyone else what, like, they live a certain halachic reality and they want you to live that halachic reality as well.
That could be, I want to tell you something, mashgichim are infamous for control. So you're allowed to help and control people to bring out what's good in them, but to a limit. I want to tell you something.
I'm saying now.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, Mashgiach, not Dafka here, Mashgiachim, or me, I'm not saying, just generally speaking. That's what Mashgiach, that's infamous for that. It's good and bad. The best way to influence people, and you'll notice with your children and with anyone, if you love someone and you honestly care for someone, he'll listen to you. He knows that what you're telling him comes from a level of care. If a person doesn't feel that you love them, doesn't matter how manipulative you'll be, eventually he'll leave you. You have to honestly care. That's why it says, Hochech tochich et amitecha. Mochich. Mochich means tell him, straighten him up. That's a salaf chet. Embarrass him in public. But also, he won't listen to what Chazanis says, and this is a big thing. You can only put mochich if you love. We don't have that level of love nowadays. So, and even Moshe Rabbeinu loved Klal Yisrael. He was mochich on his deathbed, and beremes in a hinting way. You have to know how and when. And sometimes you have to say, put the hand down, and you say, it's enough. Right? Sometimes with certain things, it's enough. You know, you can't let things go through. But it has to be done with love. It has to be done with care. If it's done because you want, and this happens in Lav Dafka this yeshiva, this happens in yeshivas. Right? It's done because they want the yeshiva to have good boys.
What's
that? They want the yeshiva to have a good name. If it's done for the name of the yeshiva, very bad. It has to be done for the boy. Means you have to be individual, you have to be able to take in a boy who's no good for your yeshiva and be sober that boy because you care for that boy. Is that what I'm saying? And in life, also your kids. Everyone has kids who are not exactly what they wanted. You don't know what your kid's going to be. You're going to have to be loving what he wants to do. Is that what I'm saying? It's hard, that's hard. These are hard things, especially with your own kids, it's hard. It's hard, easier with students, it's harder with your own kids. Because your own kids, you have a dream. Your own dream is inside your own kids. You have a dream of yourself. The things that you couldn't do when you were younger, you dream for your kids. All of a sudden, your kid doesn't do it. It's your dream, it's you. You have to separate you from your kid. It's not easy, as a father it's not easy, because you're emotionally involved. You know, whenever I see my kids sometimes, right? Like even my older kids, like what comes to me, and tears can come to my eyes. I say, like, you know, like even when I'm davening, sometimes, you know, something goes wrong with my kids. I'm davening to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So my davening usually, I help your kids, you help my kids. That's it. But on a deeper level, what do I say to myself? I think, like emotionally, what's happened to me? I remember the kid when he's a little kid, a little boy or a little girl, and how, you know, you got up for them, or you dealt with all their traumas. Every kid has his own trauma and stuff. That's why the father, love of a father or mother for the kid is, you know, you can't understand it. And you think about that and tears will come together. This is a little baby that I grew up with. This is a little baby that I held in my hands. I got up with him when he was teething. I helped him to ride his bike. You did all these things with him. And now he's a big boy. Or she's a big girl. Suddenly you get married him off. You don't know who you're going to get them. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what they're going to choose, what's going to happen with their lives, where they're going to go. They're big children. You can't tell them what to do. You can only advise them. It's a big sign for a parent. Teenagers are a big sign for a parent. But you have to allow them to make their own choices. Give them advice. You have to allow them to make their own choices and to be accepting of their choices. It's not easy. All your parents did that with you. You were all in Chutz La'aretz doing whatever your parents thought. You become a successful businessman, whatever, right? All of a sudden you come to this kook, it's not such a kook here, but you came to this place called Yeshiva, and bumped up this, like, this trail of life you were leaving. But your parents still love you, you know they still love you, and they still care for you. And even if they're worried about what job you're going to get, you know that comes from love.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.